The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D Majestic, downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. How you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
Yeah, you got the buttons ready over there?
Yeah, okay. I hit the wrong one, you know.
Hey, real quick, I hear we have a weight loss challenge here at the network.
We do.
Dustin Sweetelson from Sharp Money.
Yeah.
JVT Jonathan Montobel. It's a, we talked about this yesterday off air, a weight percentage contest. So it's not quite the Wishnev Fezzik battle to the bottoms of south of 200 pounds.
They're making it way more scientific, I believe.
Is it way more scientific? For a lot less stakes, I would imagine, too. Because Wishnev and Fezzik was like 9 grand or something like that. So this, I would imagine, is not that. But it's 375 for Dustin, 300 for JVT, which is a shocker to me. And so it's percentage. And so good for both of them. May they both lose a tremendous percentage of weight.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know all the details on what they settled with it, but yeah, it was something they were talking about doing. I know it's off and running, man. So good luck to both of them.
Fantastic.
I know there's sabotage underway. I've heard the talk of, you know, I'm going to bring in donuts for everybody at work. Stuff like that. You know, so we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Fezzik, for those who wonder, Fezzik and Wishnev, their contest ended. They had to get, Todd was like 100 pounds heavier or something like that, more than Fezzik, and they had to get it to, it was a contest to get down to like 190 something, I don't know what it was, but if at any point Wishnev got below Fezzik, he won or whatever, and right as he was about to, there was some medical thing and they called it off. But Wishnev had lost over 100 pounds.
It was incredible. It was incredible to watch.
Speaking of whom,
yes,
he will be on the show today. Every once in a while, we roll out Todd. Todd has a background in the finance industry. And every once in a while, there's a big story in that corner of the world. Not really a corner, but in that side of the world. You may remember the Robin Hood GameStop thing from a couple years back. Today, he will talk a little Bitcoin with us, because if you haven't been watching this, a little bit of an explosion. It's a lesson in supply and demand and being able to hold your two thoughts in your head at the same time. And make money, hopefully, in the process. So we'll talk to Todd about that. Maybe he's got some college basketball thoughts as well. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. Paul Carr on soccer. Chris Falica, is that how you pronounce it?
Falica, yeah.
Falica from Fox Sports. Going to talk soccer with us. He's got some Champions League thoughts.
New guy we're trying out.
New guy. Yeah, yep. New guy. College hoops. And going to get his thoughts on the 14-team playoff now in college football that they're batting around.
Chris got a lot for us today. I got notes on Champions League. I got notes on horse races today.
So
we got all kinds of things with Chris.
It's a pandemic throwback.
It's a pandemic throwback.
Well, Danny Burke and I, who was producer number 6, Danny Burke. We remember one day during the pandemic, we had 3 horse racing segments.
Yeah.
It wasn't Triple Crown week or anything. It was just like, hey, there's a horse racing.
UFC on every other
somewhere.
Night.
Yeah.
Them trying to play golf.
Can we talk
about table tennis?
Oh, we didn't do any table tennis.
I had one day of Russian table tennis betting, and then I sunsetted my career.
Documented 2-0.
It was like 3-2, something like that.
By the way, yesterday we had the +334 dog on Katie Volinets. She was up 6-4, 5-4 on her racket, 3 points away from winning it.
No, don't say it.
No, didn't happen.
She lost or walk?
She lost.
Oh
yeah, no, she lost fair and square.
Okay.
By the way, she also didn't choke it.
That still sucks. Obviously.
Yeah, it still sucks. I'd rather have lost it outright than have gotten a walkover.
I thought that's where you were going at first.
I would have lost my mind.
Brutal. Yeah.
I'd have lost my mind. People are like, did she choke it? She didn't really choke it. Freaking Collins figured it out right in the nick of time. She was getting killed on this outside slider serve, and then she figured it out. So we didn't get home on that. I have a tennis pick coming up later on the show. Kelly's got some plays. I want to start with Caleb Williams real quick in case you missed this. It's very normal for guys at the top of the draft to opt out of athletic activities. For instance, Drake May, Jaden Williams, they're not throwing. Caleb Williams is not throwing at the combine, pardon me, because there's nothing really to gain for those guys. What Caleb Williams has decided to do something a little different, though, he has decided to opt out of all medical examinations, which is kind of unheard of. Mm-hmm. And so obviously what that does is it sparks lots of speculation. Like, what is he hiding from? At the same time, he has said the presumptive number one pick in the draft, the upcoming NFL draft, he has said that he will be willing, right? He's going to do his own pro day where he'll throw. He's willing to do a medical exam with any team that requests it.
Yeah.
A la carte.
Right.
So there's that too.
Which seems to be what we're hearing. He's either meeting with the media right now or just got done meeting with them. He was doing a press conference this morning from the combine where he was clearing some of this stuff up. Yeah.
Well, he's scheduled to meet with the Bears, Commanders, Raiders, Vikings, Falcons, Pats, Jets, and Giants at the combine. Notably. Yeah, those teams notably. And the medical exams do reveal some stuff here earlier in this one, in this very combine. Kool-Aid McKinstry was found to have a fracture in his foot. So it's not like they're, you know, it's not like it's a...
Right. Like stuff like that happens.
Yeah. Sometimes you find things that you didn't know you had. But, you know, I don't know. In the end, the question is this a thing or is it not a thing? It's probably not a thing. He probably just is bored by it.
Yeah.
He's probably just like, I don't want to go through the tedium of it.
Yeah, it's just odd because we never see this.
We never see this.
But
because
it is,
we're betting on stuff, it makes us go nuts.
And like you said, it makes us all ask questions, especially those of us in the media. Like, it makes us all ask questions. In the end, is it really anything? I think as of right now, it looks like no, but... It's just still weird to hear, man. It's still weird to hear.
Doing your medical exams.
Right, yeah.
This is a thing. Victor Wembanyama last night.
Ooh, what a game.
Man. 28 and 13. Also 7 assists. 28 points, 13 boards, 7 assists. 5 blocks, 2 steals against 2 turnovers in a head-to-head with Chet Holmgren. Katie bar the door on rookie of the year. Yes.
Yeah, that's done.
I think Katie bar the door.
If that was on national TV last night, absolutely 100%. This is done.
Yeah.
Over Wemby's award. I'll take it down to 99.2% chance that he wins.
99.2.
Since it wasn't on national TV,
you ran that
through. I don't really know how many Thunder Spurs matchups over the next few years aren't going to be on national TV. So those of you with League Pass, I guess enjoy while you can. I watched so much of that game last night, Gil. Over the past 2 nights, my enthusiasm for the NBA has just keeps going up, man.
I'm telling you,
off the screen here, but you're taught, like, if you watch LeBron, what was it, for the final 18 minutes of that game against the Clippers, go, give me Kawhi, I'm guarding him every time down the court, which you just don't see that often in the NBA regular season these days. You can hate on it, you can love it, it is what it is. They design teams around these guys so they don't have to do this, right?
LeBron, by the way, small parenthetical aside, 31 points back-to-back last night in the Lakers win over the Wizards in overtime, where AD had 40 and 15.
But LeBron and Kawhi going at it the other night, Gil, and then last night, if you watch that game, Wembanyama and Chet going at each other, I mean, not to downplay Chet, because he had a great game too. He probably did. He probably cared about this a little too much. There was a few times in the game where it was like, all right, Chet, like, pass the ball, bro. Like, I know you got Wemby on you and you're trying to go one-on-one with him, but maybe pass the ball, let this offense work.
Okay, but here's what I want to say, because I said this briefly the other day and we kind of like, hey, you, haha, but I'm like only half kidding. Wembanyama is also the defensive player of the year. Literally.
He's an all-NBA player.
He's the defensive player of the year. The award is the defensive player of the year. But everybody apparently has gotten together on groupthink, and they've decided that this is a team award, and that Rudy Gobert, because he's on the best defense by far and is the best defensive player on the best defensive team, he's going to win defensive player of the year. And God forbid we give Wemby 2 awards in 1 year. So I'm just saying, if we're going to apply this logic to other awards, again, MVP should be decided by who ends up with the number one seed, Jokic versus Shea, right? Because if we're going to make these team awards, let's be consistent about this. Your most improved, Tyrese Maxey, and we'll get to Joel Embiid here in a minute, but by the time he gets back, they're going to lose some games, they're going to fall in the standings. I would think by that same logic, Jalen Williams and I don't know, maybe even Jonathan Kuminga, more of a most improved player than Tyrese Maxey or certainly Kobe White. Where's the Kobe White stuff coming from? Stop it with this.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't even know you were that far into the most improved.
Known for anything, it's most improved player deep dives.
I do agree with you. I mean, it is Kuminga. It is Kuminga I'm probably most scared of, but the Jalen Williams thing is that's why I asked Drew the other day, over under 1.5 awards this team is winning, because you can easily make a case for Jalen Williams winning that.
But I'm just saying, we divorce ourselves from the team for some of these,
yeah,
and then arbitrarily decide we're not going to divorce ourselves from the team in others.
I hear you, and it's annoying, but you know there's a track, right? Like, there's a history with these. It's just, you can't. What Wemby's doing is awesome on the defensive end. I am with the people that say you can't give an award to a guy with the defense that's in the bottom five in the NBA.
Sure you could.
I will go nuts, Gil, if he doesn't make all NBA defensive team.
Oh, stop.
You know,
that.
Like that all go nuts about.
Embiid spoke to the media Thursday, getting back to Joel Embiid. This might have been the biggest news in the NBA yesterday. For the first time, he spoke to the media since he suffered a knee injury a month ago. Said he hopes he'll be able to return sometime before the regular season is over. Quote, that's the plan. He practiced yesterday ahead of the game against the Hornets tonight. He said he continued, obviously, everything has to go right as far as getting healthy and being as close as I'm supposed to be. But yeah, that's the plan. And he said it in the Joel Embiid voice. So, does that trigger anything for you on the Sixers? Does that make you excited?
It brings my eyes back to him a little bit more. Yeah. They've been drifting away the past couple weeks. I mean, as soon as he got hurt, I think every NBA bettor's reaction was, okay, well, let's see what happens here. This price might drift, and if he comes back, it might be worth a bet. I think I started to think that wasn't going to be a reality. Now it sounds like it's closer to being one.
Hi. We'll talk some college hoops. We'll talk again with Paul Carr on the Premier League here coming up. And some NFL awards, including Offensive Player of the Year, Coach of the Year. Never too early for those. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Baseball is back, and what better way to hit off the grapefruit and cactus leagues than with VSiN's free, and that means free, MLB Betting Primer. The primer will tell you how to bet on spring training. Continue all season long with our VSiN experts' World Series futures analysis. Our free MLB Betting Primer has basic baseball betting advice for those new to betting MLB, plus a breakdown on how to use sabermetrics for more data-driven bettors to make this your best season yet. Set the MLB smarter this year, or bet the MLB smarter this year, I should say. Download the free MLB Betting Primer now for free at VSiN.com/guide. That's VSiN.com/guide. We get tweets, Kelly, at Beating the Book. Always appreciated. Michael Burns, in the handles promo spot, I think Matt Brown made a new word up. Comfortability. Just saying. He did. It's a brand new word. And it's on brand for Matt.
I haven't seen it that many times, but I don't remember him saying it in there.
He also adds, come on, Kuminga. I've got him at 55-1 for most improved. David Shalafour, I have Wemby at 50-1 for defensive player of the year. Preach, brother. Hashtag less roll. I don't think it's going to happen. I'm just saying the inconsistency is noteworthy. Chris Heath reminded me of pandemic sports betting every time I see Remington Park and Fonner Park on my timeline.
Oh, yeah.
I was telling you, Danny Burke, I'll never forget that day. We're like, we just did three horse racing segments. Let's go.
See, like, I've at least had plenty of days in my lifetime, Gil, where I've gone into degenerate horse betting days, like where I've just bet horses for like four straight hours.
Is that so, right?
Yeah, I have. I don't want to say it happens often, but it happens. It happens. I enjoy the horses. I at least enjoy them.
Huh.
I don't bet them well.
I don't know that I knew this about you. You enjoy the horses?
From time to time, you know, given your company or who you're hanging and spending time with, right? So that wasn't the pandemic stuff for me. It was like betting UFC every three nights.
UFC, you know what I mean? Was king.
Because it was like three times a week, right? And then, like one day into Russian, like table tennis.
This is from Trip Tepper. And this will mark the first time this year that we bring this up. So thank you, Tripp, because I have evangelized this for years now. And I hope in 2024, people are down with this. Tripp says, any chance you can do an NCAA tourney survivor strategy segment in the next 2 weeks? Yes, I will. I've been playing an NCAA survivor for 10 years with tiebreaker being aggregate total of seeds picked, big stakes pool. You and I, Tripp Tepper, for all I know, we might be in the same one. And I just want to say this again. Brackets, Kelly, so 2000 late. Can't believe I just said that. as it was coming out of my mouth, I was like,
new poll question
this
is saying 2000 late, so 2000 late.
100%. 100% it is. You know, as it's coming out, you're like, oh, this is terrible. It is, brackets are so yesterday. It really is one of these things where, you know, God bless you. If you're good at them, good for you. But Survivor, as great as it is in the NFL, keep in mind that in the NFL, it is just this one linear thing where you're trying to hit, in the case of the Circus Survivor contest, what in essence becomes a 20-team moneyline parlay. You can't use the same team twice. Obviously, with the Thanksgiving and Christmas perks. The nature of a bracket format in Survivor makes it multidimensional. And it is the greatest thing. It's just so much fun because same concept, you can't use a team twice. As Tripp just mentioned, there is a tiebreaker which comes down, the more risks you take, right, the more likely you are to win tiebreakers.
Okay, so can I stop you right there?
Please.
I have questions. I love this idea.
Yes.
The tiebreakers, that would come in a scenario, so we're not, this isn't like first team to lose or whatever, right? Where the games have to be fully played out round by round.
Yeah. So in other
words,
what
I mean, like you can't have a team end, you know, your team lose.
So the reason that it's multidimensional, yes, is because now the formats are going to differ slightly, but let's just take a standard one. Day one of the NCAA tournament. I'll talk about one that got closed by the feds. Years ago, those of us who are lived on the East Coast might be familiar with this. When it got closed by the feds, there was so many people in this thing up and down the Eastern Seaboard. And the first day, you could re-up all day long until the tip-off of the last game.
Okay.
So what it did was it spiraled the amount of money in this pool.
Which is a great idea.
Oh, it was just insane. Yeah. Now people doing it online now, some do that. Some it's not the same way now, I don't think.
I love that thought, though, because you could start the tournament going with a bit of a longer shot.
That's
you
correct.
Know, see if you
so,
get your way
so
through.
So you keep yeah. really keep trying to hit long shots on day one because you know you can still participate until the very end of the day. Mm. It doesn't extend to the second day. So you have to not only survive every day, and some pools have it the first couple days, you have to have two teams survive because they got to winnow it down. But you also can't run out of teams, which doesn't happen in an NFL format, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But in a bracket, you could have already used all the teams that end up in the Final Four.
Right. I guess Final Four is probably where would really run into the problem.
Or yeah. Elite. Yeah, but Final Four, we'll just use that as the sort of place where it could happen. So you have to think in two ways, and it is so much fun, so much more fun than brackets. And so I don't know of anyone running that. Like this is sort of our plea to Derek Stevens.
Right,
if you can figure out a way
to
do that one, man. But that's going to require a little bit of a technology quirk, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, maybe we could just make it a part of the Matt Heumann's college basketball show on Friday nights. Never know. I know he's doing his contest there. Maybe he would work this in.
Maybe.
We've been speaking to the powers that be.
We've been talking about Survivor on a numbers game since our inception. Yeah. I've been doing this for years. That, I'm just telling you, the one that got shut down was, if not seven figures, almost seven figures. Yeah. Feds.
They're getting a lot of shout-outs.
You're not
going to
find that anymore.
It's like 3 days in a row they've got
the FBI is big on this show. Big on this show. Okay, by the way, real quick, because I threw this out on Twitter the last couple days. Championship formula, we get questions about it every day. Once again, just real quick, last 33 champs had more assists than turnovers. 31 of the last 33 had a head coach with prior Sweet 16 experience. Kevin Ollie, 2014 UConn Huskies, 2023 UConn Huskies, Danny Hurley, the only exceptions. So again, if you're not the UConn coach, this is a big thing. But UConn is the real buster here in all this. 27 of the last 28 went to the tournament with at least three wins versus teams in the top 10% of RPI. Only the 2014 UConn Huskies, the exception there. Keep in mind, a team like Creighton still has to beat Marquette to qualify on this year. Last 28 had a top 75 strength of schedule. 20 of the last 21, top 20 adjusted efficiency, offensive efficiency in KenPom. 20 of the last 21, top 20 adjusted defensive efficiency. UConn, 2014, the exception on the former. 2021, Baylor, the exception on the latter on the defensive side. By the way, I was having an exchange with Cleve TA, our football buddy, yesterday. He tweaks the offense and the defense and is rigid about making it just before the tournament, which is right. That's the only thing that we don't do consistently, right? We allow for that to be adjusted during the tournament. And so he tweaks that back. So there's ways to tweak the formula where you ratchet back to the before the tournament starts. And then I think his was, it has to be top 25 offense, top 45 defense. So okay. People have their own variations. Right now, the only bets that I have, Kelly. Oh, by the way, the only teams that qualify, I should probably note here at this point this year, when we did this a couple days, and I'll just refresh KenPom here on the computer screen, but the only teams that qualified the other day, Houston, UConn, Arizona, and Auburn, Purdue, and let's see, Tennessee now qualifies as well. Purdue just on the outside looking in. So five teams qualify, add Tennessee and Dalton Connect. Purdue on the other side, just on the outside looking in currently, if you're looking to isolate a champion. And this is the thing about March Madness, which is fascinating. For as random a sporting event that we view, and correctly so, view March Madness, right? All the 12 fives, the word madness is built into it, for God's sakes. That for all of that, isolating a champion turns out to be a rather simplistic exercise. That's the point of all of this. Only bets I have, futures. I got a Bama long shot future. Their defense is terrible. They're 25-1 now. I got much longer than that, but I don't have much hope for it. I have BYU to win it all. I also have them to make the Final Four at 12-1. 11-1 or 12-1, I'm not sure. I'll have to check. And then I have UConn to make the Final Four at plus 180. This is the only thing I have. Do you have any college basketball futures?
Oh, yeah. Of course, Gil.
Do you?
I made a FAU bet a couple weeks ago. It's looking real great.
It's like the Shaq, 39-8-29. FAU 2024. Yeah. FAU 2024.
I bet I'm 75-1, though. I do think there's something to... I was talking to someone about this. Forget who. But it was the... You know, it's kind of like the Thunder of a year ago, right? Where they were like the best ATS team in the league. And you're like, okay, can they get better, though? Yeah. This year, they got better. Like, they made that leap. And I think from FAU last year, we talked about all that, you know, okay, they were this great ATS team, like they're going into the tournament, they're a good mid-major, how far can they really go though? Like, okay, maybe this year they know they're good and they're just kind of, you know, doing the motions through the regular season, know they're going to get in the tournament. That's what I'm holding out hope for.
You got the Kansas City Chiefs Denver Nuggets vibe from them.
Yeah, I'm holding out that hope for it. Let's see.
Right, we'll see. Paul Carr joins us next. Premier League picks for some weekend action for your action junkies out there. That's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Put the VSiN experts to work for you and start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. That's New England right there. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today. Get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. That's a $41 savings. Just use promo code ANG. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do for an entire year. That includes our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access. What else? I'll tell you what else. Plus our upcoming March Madness betting guide with best bets for every game and round of the tournament. Remember to use promo code ANG.
ANG, like a numbers game.
Get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at vsin.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I'm going to Ron Burgundy through some tweets, Kelly. That's always fun.
Hey, you just gave me the look. This is scary. Go ahead.
John Balduzzi. I may or may not have been in that pool. Two words, Lehman Brothers.
John Lehman was the football one that I was in. I'm not sure it was the basketball. Todd Bubba Horowitz. East, let me tell you something. The East Coast stuff was on a different level back then.
Oh, I was going to ask.
Different level.
I was going to clarify the two off air, but you just did. Thanks. Yeah.
Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back. Las Vegas agency is running a Survivor on Splash, available in 40 states, Nevada, not one of them. I don't know what that means. Let's see. Boop-a-doop-a-doo. Oh, John Balducci chimes back in. He goes, as in ran by guys at Lehman, maybe another Wall Street bank. Can't remember. Let's see. Doop-a-doop-a-doo. Sean Fox plays. Nothing says pandemic sports betting like learning all 16 teams of the Vyshaya Liga. Got to love Belarusian soccer.
Yeah.
Belarusian soccer was a big thing.
Well, the Bundesliga, I did have some knowledge, prior knowledge, but really getting to know the ins and outs of every single team, basically.
I just remember like blanketing unders in some of these leagues.
There's definitely never going to be a 3 month span, 4 month span of me having to type in Borussia Mönchengladbach more into graphics.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
That's Borussia Mönchengladbach. There's a team in the Bundesliga.
You lived in Russia, so you probably pronounced what you just said correctly.
Well, yeah, probably. Yeah. I mean, that's German, but yeah.
I know it is, but I'm saying you have a gift for dialect is what I'm saying.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's heard me pronounce tennis names, knows that for sure. True. Yeah.
Maybe not. I spoke too soon. Paul Carr joins us. I haven't seen this guy in forever, it feels like. He comes to us from True Media Networks and, of course, the Expected Value podcast, obviously to give us Premier League picks. But where you been, Paul? How you been?
The off season for True Media, meaning football and baseball aren't going on, but that means it's busy. So I was at the NFL Combine this week, got back late last night. Going to spring training down in Arizona tomorrow to meet with clients. So we're hopping all over the place.
Okay.
February and March.
Let's do a little Paul Carr street cred thing. Let's get a little background on you. Okay. So when you say you go to the NFL Combine, which by the way, the correct term is NFL Combination. what you are trying to get teams to subscribe to analytics. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have True Media has a league-wide deal, so all the teams actually already have access. It's free to them. So the Combine is really more about, I mean, there is an upsell option, but it's really just more about, hey, you guys have this tool. Want to make sure you're using it well as you can. So yeah, in the past it's been sales. Now it's more just about, hey, how can we help you?
We're here.
What can we make faster, like a 5-hour process that we can turn into 5 minutes or something like that, and save you time to do
same deal with spring training for baseball.
Spring training is a little different because we have 26 MLB clients, I think, and it's more just checking in. Like, all right, it's when they're getting their processes ironed out for the season, whether it's scouting or player development or whatever. So we'll meet with, generally larger groups of coaches or analysts or whatever, and just kind of walking through stuff. Sometimes it's just like Q&A, shooting the breeze about, hey, could we do this? Could we do that? Or sometimes it's more pointed of showing them specific things, tasks. Okay. That we can help them with.
All right. Wait a minute. I got questions. So 26 of 30 MLB teams. Let me do the math. That's four that do not. Is it because they have their own way of doing analytics or are they reticent to analytics?
It's the first one.
The first one. Okay.
I mean, every team has their own in-house stuff, systems and whatnot. Some just want to keep it even more in-house, which, there's advantages to that in that you have complete control over it. You want to change something, you can just do it. The downside is, you may not get other things you don't think of that, we have insight from all these teams. And if we add a feature, everyone gets to take advantage of that. It's expensive to maintain a site. So if you can, pay someone to do it, we had one guy switch teams in the league this year, and the team he went to, not this year, a couple years ago, the team he went to didn't have it. He's like, and we have a good relationship with him. He's like, I got to sign up with you guys. We could build a site like yours, but it'll take 3 years and four engineers. And
wait, okay.
He's kidding, but that's kind of the situation.
I'm looking to incriminate someone here. Let's go back to football for a second. So back in the days of the MIT Sloan Sports Analytics Conference, I've said this before, Matthew Berry, famously ESPN in the past, now with NBC, also happens to be a Skins fan. So I remember in the old days of Sloan, there was a bunch of football teams there, and there was a bunch that weren't represented because they – those days didn't really care. And I said to him, I was like, does it bother you the Skins aren't here? He's like, yeah, as a matter of fact, it does. Are there still has to be some football teams, I'm guessing, that are just not down with this as much as others?
Yeah, I mean, everybody has at least one, probably two or three people who are, we'll just call them, are in analytics. The questions are, you know, are they just stuck in a closet and nobody listens to them? Or are they actually impacting, you know, on the field type of things, right, decision making, or whatever those choices may be?
And again, we're not saying it's the end all be all, people. We're just saying it's a tool, for God's sakes. That's the other thing that Aaron Schatz always says. Like, for some reason, people who hate analytics think that analytics people only care about analytics. It's like, no, right, it's not like that. Yeah.
No, sometimes it's just about efficiency. You know, why should somebody watch 8 hours of film to find the 12 plays that he really wants to see when a site like ours can find those 12 plays in about, you know, 30 seconds, and then you can just watch them right there and go do, you know, actual coaching or something like that.
Last thing, if there's a football team that you find to be more averse to this than others, does it influence how you feel about them when you watch them on Sundays?
I'd say I watch them with a little more of a critical eye, yeah, especially when, you know, I mean, every coach and team makes, you know, what we'd say are bad decisions in general. But when it's a, you know, less analytically inclined team, it's kind of like, oh yeah, well, that figures. Saw that one coming.
Is the worst defender, does it rhyme with Washington Vamanders by any chance? I don't want you to give any names.
I would say 5-6 years ago, I definitively would have said yes. Now, I'd say they're probably still toward the bottom, but not necessarily the worst defender.
All right. Let's talk Premier League. What do you got this week? We got one tomorrow, one Sunday, one Monday. Let's start with tomorrow.
All right. We're looking for goals tomorrow. Luton Town, Aston Villa, over 3.5 plus 135 is what I played. Both top 7 in goals or expected goals this season overall. Luton gives up a ton of goals, third most and most expected goals. Villa's been rolling lately. And to use a term that you like a lot, Villa is a bully. They've played 7 games versus the bottom 4 teams. 5 of those games had 4 plus goals. Villa scored 3 on their own in 5 of them. And you add in that Luton Town tends to score at home. They've scored in all but one home game. So this feels a lot like a 3-1 Villa type of game. Could get crazy, you know, either way. Villa's cooking lately. They're in 4th. A lot of good goal scorers. Ollie Watkins has help from Leon Bailey, Douglas Luiz. So they're rolling. I just think there are going to be goals one way or the other. So getting a decent plus money price at 135. That's what I like.
No one likes a bully, Paul. You're Miami Dolphins and the Dallas Cowboys this past year.
Yep.
Sunday. Yep. Oh, Man City and Man U. Yeah. What do you got here?
One of the big ones of the year, as always. Man City, Man United. Man City's in 2nd. But just a little bit behind Liverpool. Manchester United's in 6th, but I don't know how. It's kind of smoke and mirrors. They have a goal difference of 0, and they're in 6th place, which just, you know, that's pretty straightforward. And their expected goal difference is even worse at -3, which is 11th in the league. So they're just not quite as good. United has injuries. Rasmus Højlund, one of their better forwards, is out. Luke Shaw, one of their starting defenders, is out. These teams played back in October, and City won 3-0. And it was every bit that dominant. So I think that's what happens here again. Erling Haaland's back for City. Kevin De Bruyne's back for City. They've only started 5 games together this year, but City scored 3 and won by multiple goals in 4 of those. So I think that's what happens here. Easy Manchester City win. I'll lay the goal and a half at -120.
Wow, you're not kidding about Man U. 36 goals for, 36 against. Yeah. Only 7 other teams, only 7 other sides on the Premier League table, Kelly, on the table, have scored fewer goals than Man U.
It's like I think it was the Marlins last year. You know, they were way up in the wild card race, but they had like even in run differential. Same concept here, that you just think they're going to come back to earth.
So Man City giving up the goal and the half on Sunday. And then Monday, Arsenal and Sheffield United.
This is kind of super simple here. Arsenal has the best defense in the league, maybe in Europe. Sheffield United is dead last in goals, dead last in possession. They've been shut out a league high 11 times. Arsenal wins this to nil, -115. It almost don't need the analysis, but Arsenal has the most shutouts in the league. They're, again, their defense is rock solid. That's their philosophy. Don't let them score and then get a couple of goals. So Arsenal win to nil, -115.
All right. Tomorrow, Luton Town, Aston Villa, over 3.5 goals plus money. Shop around. Sunday, Man City giving up a goal and a half against Man U. And Monday, Arsenal win to nil against Sheffield United. Paul Carr, what a life from the combine to spring training. Enjoy, Paul. Thank you, man. Good to see you.
You bet. Good to see you.
At Paul Carr. The podcast is called the Expected Value Podcast as well. Kelly and I got to take a look at NFL awards for next year. How about that? Next, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can deposit $5, get a no-sweat bet with that, up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet loses. Download the app and use promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Barcanada. The barrage here at the D.
It's kind of a funny betting term we all use, like the sweat. You know what I mean? Like what you're sweating.
Yeah.
Because what if you just instantly, what if every bet you had that it just became close, you instantly, your body started sweating? Like how terrible would that be?
It's just excessive perspiration.
Yeah. Like you're out at dinner, like not even watching some tennis match you have money on. You're like, wait a second. Why did I start sweating out of nowhere?
I think we need to give Kelly
must be close.
Look at him. Jeez. We get tweets at Beanie the Book. Daytime degenerate. I'll just read this one because I was talking about with Paul. I was talking about who I wanted to, which team I wanted to incriminate for being completely averse to analytics.
Yeah.
He says it's probably the Rockies in those four. Let's incriminate them.
Right, the Marlins have to be included. Come on. The Marlins are definitely in there.
I just want to talk about the Rockies conundrum once again. The Colorado Rockies, who did get to a World Series once upon a time. Right. But it is the most, I would argue, I think I talked with Will Hill about this earlier, because Will had an under on the Rockies. It is the biggest puzzle for any franchise to figure that out. The dimensions of that ballpark and the air are such that playing at home at Coors is one sport and playing on the road is another. And I know that sounds like massive hyperbole, but it's by intention that I'm saying it that way. And so you have to figure out, is it even tenable? Can players, Will was talking about it, how players say, like, the ball just moves a different way in that environment versus others. Plus, you have to have, you have to roster outfielders that can cover ground in your outfield. Let's just take that as an example. In Coors that don't have as big of a bat, and so you forfeit that on the road because you have to roster them. The biggest trait that you can have as a pitcher, the best trait you can have as a pitcher at Coors, is erasing batters. So just the K has extra value, strikeout has extra value. So there's all these little quirks to doing that. So the Rockies, I don't know how much
K has extra value, because if they get a bat on it, there's more of a chance of it becoming
exactly
something.
Okay. It's a prairie. It's a prairie. The dimensions of Coors, because people think that Coors is homers.
Yeah.
No, it's doubles and triples. The dimensions of that ballpark are it's vast. Like only AT&T, what do they call it now in San Francisco? Oracle only approaches and it's not even close, really. So I don't know. You could throw all the analytics in the world at the Rockies organization, and I don't think you can incriminate them in there, because I don't know what you do.
It did stick out to me. Was it yesterday or the day before we were talking about whatever? When you mentioned about was it either the pitcher or the batter talking about the ball moving differently?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know how many baseball games I would have to watch with my own eyes before I said something like that?
Well, Sergio Romo used to say that with the Giants, right? He had this amazing slider, but at Coors, that thing would not slide.
It's like the guy with the golf club up, shanking it off the tee every time, and he's like, there's something wrong with this driver. I'd be like, yeah, dude, I don't believe you, man. You've done it 1,000 times. I don't believe you. And I'd have to see it so many times.
Also, and we don't talk about this enough on the show, but everyone's human. You play 162 Major League Baseball games. If you're 30, 35 games out, at the end of July or at the beginning of August, and you still got 2 months to play, it's tough to keep your head in the ball game also.
Yeah.
It's just 162 games of that. You're already making vacation plans. It's a whole thing. It just compounds. Let's talk NFL awards for next year, because a few of these are fascinating. Let's start with NFL Offensive Player of the Year, Kelly, where Christian McCaffrey, I think appropriately so, is the shortest shot of the bunch. Christian McCaffrey, who is the defending. Are we allowed to say the defending NFL Offensive Player of the Year?
Sure.
Can you defend an award? I think he's defending it.
You got a title, right? Defending a title.
He's plus 550. Tyreek, who, was knocking at the door of this one, plus 650. Justin Jefferson back in the mix along with CeeDee Lamb. Justin Jefferson is plus 650. CeeDee Lamb is plus 850. Everybody else, double digits. Jamar Chase, 12-1. Everybody else, actually 25-1 or longer. Is there a bet here? You're looking at
there's a few that I'm intrigued by, okay. but it's, you know, I think when we talk betting these type of awards that this time of the year, it's almost only longer shots that you think. I don't even say longer shots, but any number that you see on this graphic or further down that you think is going to get shorter by the start of the season, right there. You could make an argument. There's some value in betting those.
You are obsessed with three people, and I'm going to tell you who those three people are. I'm going to read your mind.
I got two written down.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Ja'Marr Chase, 12-1.
No.
Okay. The other two are Jahmyr Gibbs.
Not on this graphic.
Oh, never mind.
Neither on this graphic.
Because I would have said Ja'Marr Chase, 12-1, Jahmyr Gibbs, 25-1, and Puka Nakua, 30-1 would be in your head.
I had to make sure I got Puka on there for you. I was like, I got to stretch this far enough so Puka Nakua gets
Where do I cash
included.
That? Where do I cash that offensive rookie of the year, man?
I'm going even longer. I'm going to the 40-1 range. Okay.
All right.
One of the most productive wide receivers in the NFL over the past two seasons. I think he's an absolute freak. I know that the Eagles fell off, but A.J. Brown, I can get it 40-1 right now. He's had monster seasons like the past 2 years. Even when that team started to fall apart last year, he was still good down the stretch. That one intrigues me. The other one is one of your Niners boys, Debo.
Debo
at 45-1.
Got to stay on the field.
He's got to stay on the field. But you don't think 45-1 on Debo's a long number compared to what we're looking at on some of the rest of these guys?
I can't get to A.J. Brown because I can't get to Jalen Hurts.
Okay.
To me,
I understand. And I understand that take. This is a, you know, I think this Eagles thing going into next year is going to be a, okay, you got to believe in Jalen Hurts or you don't. I believe that team's going to bounce back from what
you made me bet anybody right here. I'd bet Ja'Marr Chase 12-1. Just because Burrow's coming back, baby.
Yeah, Burrow's back. I think what's tough comparing to him with the rest of those wide receivers is just that there is going to be T. Higgins on the other side, right?
Well, and Tyreek still wants to get 2,000 every year. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Let's do another one. Coach of the year. Coach of the year is kind of interesting.
We were talking about defensive player off the year, off the air. Defensive player of the year off the air.
Let's interject defensive player of the year real quick.
I didn't make a graphic.
Just because real quick. Defensive player of the year, Myles Garrett just won it. And the year before, it was T.J. Watt. Ergo, isn't next year Micah Parsons' year? Ooh. Simple handicap. End of story. Just bet Micah Parsons and forget about that award.
Right now at +550, I'm not willing to do that, but I think there is something to what you're saying. Just because it's Micah Parsons +550, TJ Watt 7-1, Nick Bosa 7-1, Myles Garrett 7-1. It's going to be one of those four dudes.
If you put yourself in the mind of a voter, which Lord knows we've gone down the wrong path before.
How many times do we say that?
But if you do, for something like Defensive Player of the Year, and all things being equal, and you just gave it to that guy, and the year before the other guy, don't you just give it to Parsons?
I'm with you.
Odds to win Coach of the Year, Jim Harbaugh. Los Angeles Chargers, the short shot at +550. Matt LaFleur, the flower, +850. I had him last year with the whole Jordan Love is good and they make the playoffs thing. He didn't get there because it was a late surge. He's about as good a bet to me this year. Same sort of logic, because I think it'll be just that much more sunk into the voters' minds. Everybody else is double digits. Raheem Morris, 10-1 for the Falcons, with, I guess, the market thinking there, well, if the Falcons show any kind of substantial improvement, he'll get the credit for that. And then the other suspects, Mike McDonald for the Dolphins, Shane Steichen, D'Amico Ryans, Snubberoo, not really snub, but he just lost on a tiebreaker. What you don't see is Kevin Stefanski anywhere to be found, right? Because he won it, and they would have to, I don't know, what could the Browns do next year that would win him the Coach of the Year? I don't know that you could. You could have someone wanting to vote for him back to back. I don't know what the circumstance would be.
Yeah.
Is there a bet there for you?
Raheem Morris is interesting to me, but it's going to take a couple other dominoes to fall, right? You're laughing at me already.
No, I'm not laughing at you. I'm just saying, like, we 17 weeks into this season, we're trying to decide what the narrative is for voters.
Totally.
Here we are barely in March, and we're like, let's hypothetical a narrative now.
Okay, let's start off with the top name. Fair for Jim Harbaugh to be the short shot here, right? Because of the narrative.
Because he's the big deal, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm just trying to see if we agree on that. I agree on that. It's not what I'm rushing to bet at this number, but I do think he's the rightful favorite in this market. I mean, look, Raheem Morris, I think at double digits would be interested in, just because I do think it could, okay, if you bring in Justin Fields and all you do is win that division, it might be good enough. It might be good enough to get you to win this award. Mike McDonald, I'm interested in because I think he's going to be a fascinating coach to keep for us to watch. But I don't know if he's really live for this because if that team plays better, how much better are they really going to be? I think they could only be incrementally better and be a playoff team. But isn't that just going to come back to the players getting all the credit?
I love Mike McDonald. I love the in-season Hard Knocks. I also have to say that he is one of those personalities in a football culture, right?
Yeah.
Where if it goes south, he then will get the Brandon Staley treatment.
Yeah.
Oh, that nerd. Right?
No, I think you're right.
So, I just don't know.
Robert Saul, I think, could be interesting here, too. 61. Jets will be better. Aaron Rodgers will get no credit.
We'll only talk about this 100 more times before it actually happens. Look forward to that. Lebatard next on DK. Chris Felica next with us, coming back at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.